Morning, church. Get my technical device on after we finish our announcements this morning. Great to have you all this Sunday as we celebrate not only Jesus Christ, our chief elder, with Holy Communion, but as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Armistice Day, as well as Veterans Day, and we give thanks to all the people who made the greatest sacrifice on behalf of our country and have been willing to serve our country, and many of us give thanks for that. A few announcements before we get started. First of all, thanks to all those who attended our Equipping the Saints workshop. We had 30 people there, a lot of good knowledge from Marie Coates and Denny Roan, and they really just made a lot of good information and a lot of information for us to carry back to our boards. Carolyn will actually share a little bit for us in a few minutes as I wrap up announcements. Cares and Prayers will be meeting Tuesday at 1:30. We look forward to the opportunity to pray for not only those in our congregation, but those outside of our church. Trustees will be meeting Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Look forward to that time together. Also, please don't forget the next Sunday, there will be a community Thanksgiving service, 6 p.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on Sunday, November 18th. There will be a community choir for people interested in doing that, and a free meal of turkey dogs after worship. Andrew Wilsterman from Kent State will be the feature speaker. Andrew, if you've heard that name before, does a lot of volunteer lawn mowing and community action things, and is starting a lot of new ministry at Kent State of his own accord. So I think he's going to have a good message to share, both for young and old. Our Books for the Soul will meet Tuesday, November 20th at Beeler's from 7 to 8 as we discuss Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I look forward to that time together. Also, as Harry celebrated his 20th anniversary of his Quidditch debut this week, according to Quidditch Sports Center. November 25th after worship, please don't forget that we have our Advent workshop. So that's a great opportunity to not only set up the church, but to do some activities as we get ready for the season of Advent, which according to Walmart started on November 1st, but we're going to start a little bit later as our season of Advent begins on December 2nd. And we look forward to really bringing the joy of Christ's return to the world with us. Please don't forget, Lunch Bunch today will be at D's. And then just a note for all of you, I will not have any office hours on Thursday morning. I will be at a medical appointment at Cleveland Clinic. Anyone else with any other announcements? All right, at this time, I invite Carolyn up to share about Equipping the Saints and the Western District workshop that she got to attend.
Morning. Last weekend, I had the opportunity to spend some time at Mount Morris. It's the camp of the Western District, and it's in Wautoma, Wisconsin. It's a really beautiful wooded setting, perfect for kind of getting away from it all. Terrible cell service, so you have to get away from it all, I guess. But there was a lay leadership conference. And there were 8 different workshops, and we were able to choose 4. They were all based on laity, which, as we learned yesterday from Marie Coates, is anyone affiliated with a religious organization, but not an ordained minister or priest. So everyone here except Pastor Ben. And the first workshop I went to was functioning as a lay-led church. There were members of the Main Street Moravian Church in Northfield, Minnesota, and they have been lay-led for 6 years. So we think we go 6 months without a pastor, and it's, you know, difficult. It's beyond difficult. They've kind of passed into, they're just used to it. This is how they operate. And they shared how they transformed themselves into a recovery church. So they host AA meetings and other addiction support groups. They hold meetings in the basement, and they like to say that sometimes people make their way upstairs and join them for worship. And I want to share something that they led with. I'm going to look it up on my phone. This is the way that they welcome people. They borrowed this from another church, but I asked the lady who read this to send it to me, and she did. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, widowed, gay, confused, filthy rich, comfortable, or dirt poor. We extend a special welcome to wailing babies and excited toddlers. We welcome you whether you can sing like Pavarotti or just growl quietly to yourself. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woken up, or just got out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury or haven't been to church since Christmas 10 years ago. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome keep fit moms, football dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems, are down in the dumps, or don't like organized religion. We're not that keen on it either. We offer a welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or are here because Granny is visiting and she wanted to come to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, both or neither. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throat as kids, or got lost in the city center and wound up here by mistake. We welcome pilgrims, tourists, seekers, doubters, and you. And I don't know, for some reason that just really struck me. That touched me. It was probably one of the most meaningful parts of the workshop. The second one I went to was Wisconsin Rapids, where there were four Moravian churches. One of them burned and had to close. Two others had to close for other reasons. And they told their story of how their lay leadership brought them together to form one congregation. They actually brought communion tables and stained glass windows from the churches that closed and put them into the new worship space. And the northern province, proceeds from churches that are sold or closed go back to the province. The province held those proceeds for them until they could discern what it was they needed to do with those. And so now they run a laundry ministry to the homeless and a music ministry where they have new space in their building to offer lessons and instruments at no cost to people who can't afford them. The other two workshops were more how-to. One was spiritual companioning, which Ben has started a group, and I would encourage anyone to join it. We learned a lot about it. It's a really great way to kind of deepen your faith and just kind of sometimes sort of get feedback from other people, but not really in like a judging or, you know, helping way, just kind of like reflecting what it is that you're saying. And then also about joint board, how joint boards operate and how those lay leaders help lead a congregation. There was, the theme to that was do your job, which was a Bill Belichick thing. And so the Packers fans had to kind of calm down for a little while after that got brought up. But once we did, we talked about confidentiality, how important that is. And boards acting as one. You know, once they form a decision, the whole board goes forward with that one decision. And then yesterday, we had an Eastern District workshop here led by Marie Coates and Denny Rohn. And they encouraged us to kind of shift from thinking that we just need to fill positions in the church to finding out who is truly called by God to do each of the jobs that we have. Elders, trustees, teachers, ushers, greeters, the list goes on, but God calls each of us to do something, and we just have to discern what that is. So if you're interested in that, we actually have some resources. Pastor Ben or the joint board, hopefully, can offer that questionnaire. excuse me, I know some of us have taken that already, but if you haven't, I would highly recommend it. And feel free to ask me. I've got some of those resources on me, too. So thank you.
Representing our church at Mount Morris, and for those of you in the congregation, if there's a lay-led ministry that you're excited about, or a conference, or a workshop, we have a lot of grants and initiatives that are coming out of the Eastern District to equip you to attend these things and to empower lay-led ministry, because we're starting to realize that the average age of our ministers is starting to creep up. You got one of the exceptions here at Shenbrunn, but we're looking to equip more people than just a natural seminary route of becoming, serving the church in ministry. And we really are, since the beginning, the Moravian Church has been a lay-led church, and we're always at our strongest with equipping our lay leadership. At this time, I invite you to stand and greet one another. Morning, Rick.
Give you a boost up.
Talking about fall retreat.
Would you like to? You may be seated this time. I forgot to mention McKenna Cannon, who's going to come up and share about fall retreat quick, and then after that we'll join together in our watchword of the week.
Okay, so whenever Carolyn was away at her retreat this weekend, I was at my own retreat. So I was at the Mid-States Youth Fall Retreat this weekend, which is through sixth grade through age 21, and we had 45 campers, which is very low number for us. And we had four post-high campers, which is very low for us. So it was kind of weird being the third oldest camper there. So Cynthia Geyer did the program, and she talked about faith prints and God prints. So it was actually a very good program for the more than half of middle schoolers that were there. We did like a lot of little activities, like we did sort of like a nature walk where we went out and took pictures with our small groups of things where we saw God or other things. Like my group was just four of us post-high girls, so we just sort of went out and had a photo shoot and had a fun time. But we did some other activities where we looked through tabloids and cut out pictures and made like collages of things that we're supposed to believe in. So like my group went through the National Enquirer, and we had most of the magazine was on our poster board, of course. And so another activity that we did is we were in our small groups. We had to decorate a cross, and Pastor John led it, and he's very artsy, as you most of you know. And so he gave us pieces of broken glass or rocks or little charms, or he wanted us to put like a small round mirror in the center of it. So we had six of them. And then on Sunday morning, they had the oldest person that was there, or the oldest camper from each congregation, go up and choose one of the crosses. And unfortunately, Shunbrun was the last one to get to choose. So, and then of course I was the oldest because it was Jacob there. So we are allowed to bring back a cross. So I chose this one. Didn't have much of a choice. I wanted the cross that my group made because we were a bunch of older campers and it was more methodical. But this was made by 12-year-old boys. So it has some deadly sharp pieces of glass sticking out of it. But we'll probably... We had one piece that already fell off, but we'll make it a little better since it'll be here at the church now. So I don't know where we want to put it. We'll figure that out later, but we'll have to fix it because, yeah. But they had fun doing it. We all had fun doing it. So it was a good weekend, and I definitely encourage, if you don't have anything going on, go to Spring Rally. It's just a weekend away. There's always transportation through Dover. It's only 5.5 hours away, I think, this year. So... if you would like to go, you can ask me questions about it or whatever. And they also need counselors, too. So even if you're an adult, any age you can go and be a counselor there. So that's all. The end.
Yeah. All the sharp objects on that cross obviously remind us that God's love cuts right through our heart. And it's a very important relationship with each one of us. Thank you for your willingness, Jacob, and all our other ones to attend Fall Retreat, just a great opportunity for our young people to celebrate all the things that God is willing to do. And as McKenna said, if you have any questions about what a retreat or a summer camp looks like, we have a lot of people in this church who are very big believers in this ministry, and we'll ask whatever questions you have. And I encourage you, if you haven't done one, just to try it to see if you like it or not, because most people leave those experiences wanting to come back again and again. Let us join. You may remain seated as we join together and our watchword of the week, which comes from Psalm 146, verse 8. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Amen.
Would you please stand and join me in reading the Veterans Day Litany as found in an insert in your bulletin. Today we remember all those who have served in our country's armed forces to preserve the freedoms you have granted us, to make it impossible for those who would take away our freedoms from prevailing. For the men and women who serve in the Air Force, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. We ask for the family members who have made great sacrifices in order to make it possible for their service members to be on watch at home or around the world or go into harm's way.
We ask
for the families who grieve the death of a member who went in harm's way never to return. Jesus tells us that no one has greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, for all those veterans who have been willing to lay down their lives for us.
Yes, your blessing.
For the veterans of past wars who bear scars on their bodies and spirits.
Yes, your blessing.
For veterans who came home but couldn't fit in with their families or communities anymore. Keep all our veterans in your care today. Grant them the peace they sought to preserve for others. As we honor our veterans, we also pray for peace. Teach all your people the ways of peace, that those who have sacrificed so much for peace and freedom will not have done so in vain. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We join together to sing for the healing of the nations. as we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering, as we celebrate the festival of Christ as chief elder, it is important to remember when it comes to our tithes, offerings, and gifts that God must come first in our hearts and our minds. Let us give to one another. Let us pray together. Chief Elder, when we struggle for answers in our own world, help us to strive for your vision of this world. May we seek to build a peace that is everlasting and includes all your children. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and minds to a time of prayer as we welcome God into our concerns and both our blessings. First and foremost, as we remember our prayer concerns, on today, the 100th anniversary of Armistice Day, dating back to World War I, which has now become a celebration of Veterans Day, I'd ask all those who have served our country in some capacity to please stand at this moment, and we'll give you a moment of recognition. So we want to thank all of you for your service. And you may be seated. And it is good to remember all the people who have worked hard and who have sacrificed to preserve and protect the freedom of men. We continue to pray for all of our elected officials this past week. May they take the responsibility of servant leadership seriously and continue to work to heal the divisions that exist within our country. And we continue to pray for the recovery of Shayna Norman as she continues to get stronger and feel better. We pray for the family of Chuck Bylaw, a friend of Danielle Rossi, who passed away to the results of a farming accident this past week. And we ask that God's sympathy and resurrection hope be with them. We pray for Linda Karcher, who's been hospitalized this weekend. She's doing much better, and we continue to pray for her on the road of recovery. For Chloe Martin, who fractured her arm this week and whose driving career has come to a halt for a little while, but it happens to all of us. We've all had those moments, so you still can hit your dad with the other hand, so it's... And we give thanks that it wasn't too serious and that you are able to make a full recovery and the blessings of that. For Seth Angel, who was hospitalized this last week, Seth is the head of the elders at Prize Valley Moravian Church, and he's been battling an infection that's been impacting him for a few weeks. And you know what? I blame this. I had three hospitalizations yesterday, and I blame this on myself because I was bragging at a ministerial meeting this past week about how healthy my congregation had been. So my bad, y'all, my bad. but we definitely keep those people in our hearts and minds. And also want to think about the state of California that's been through a lot this week with the shooting and gun violence continuing at a bar there, and also for the wildfires that continue to impact them and displace thousands of people and people who have passed away from this. And we continue to remember that we don't know why tragedies like this happen, but we do know that we are called to respond, to be God's hands and feet in all these places. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Good and gracious God, we come before you as the body of Christ, and we ask that you continue to equip, inspire, and motivate us to share your love with all the people we encounter. And we think most importantly of the Moravian Church 270-some years ago who elected you as chief elder. And help us to remember that whenever we struggle to make our own decisions, that you, God, are present. You, God, are leading us. You, God, are inspiring us. And that if we want to be true disciples of Christ, we need to invite you in to our own lives and to our own decisions so you can make a godly impact and allow us to be the children that you created us to be. And we think of Veterans Day today. We think of all the people who have made sacrifices not only on the behalf of their country, but on behalf of their family and who have inspired so many people by so many who made the greatest sacrifice of all by surrendering their lives. And gracious God, it is through these people and for these people and through your love that we continue to need to build a society of peace so that we can be peacemakers and live in a world of community and brotherhood and sisterhood and neighborhood. For we know that this world is at its best when we are loving one another and taking care of one another. And we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. We think specifically in our prayers this week of Shayna, the family of Chuck Bylaw, Linda Karcher, Chloe, Seth, and the people of California, that you continue to remind them that your love is personal and universal. And you touch each one of our hearts in a unique and special way. So when we feel lost, scared, or afflicted, help us to look to Christ. As we turn our hearts to the communion table today, help us to remember that we are not defined by our sins, but by your grace, and that your forgiveness is instantaneous, and your love is unanimous within all of us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. found on page 657 in your pew Bible. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever.
Thank you, Rick. Our gospel today comes from the 15th chapter of John, verses 12 to 17. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything, and I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time, I invite our children to come forward for our children's chat. Come on up. So how's everybody doing this morning? So what we're going to learn about is that this Sunday we celebrate a special celebration in the life of the Moravian Church, and it's called the Celebration of Jesus Christ as Chief Elder. Does anybody know what that means? What's a chief elder? Anybody think of another name for that? It's a way of saying God's in charge. He's our captain, our teacher, the one we look to. And how they decided that Jesus was their chief elder was that for the longest time, the chief elder was an actual person. It was Zinzendorf, or it was Leonard Dober. And they decided that that job was too much for one person. So they came up with this system called the lot, where they would turn to Scripture and look to God to provide them with answers. And so in order to do the lot, you had to have a lot of faith in God, to trust God, that he would provide the answers that you needed. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice what the lot would look like today. So your first question that we're going to do, so how they did the lot was they picked one Bible verse that was a positive, affirming Bible verse, and they picked one Bible verse that was a not-so-good Bible verse. That was a little bit of a no, not this time Bible verse. And there was a third one that was a maybe or I don't know one, but we're going to skip that one today since that one can be a little difficult to discern. So your first question is, I'm going to let you guys come up with it. So you guys got to come up with, what should I eat for lunch tomorrow? Brandon, or Tyler, sorry. Pizza, okay. Anybody else? That's easy. You're taking it easy on me, right? Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What about peanut butter and jelly pizza?
What? No, that's disgusting.
You guys are taking it way too easy. What about you, Aubrey? Oh, yeah, you have to celebrate birthday. Yep, Paige. What was that?
First choice or second choice
for lunch? Okay, so peanut butter, pizza, we got a little bit. Brandon, what should I eat? Anything that will work? Okay, so I need somebody to come up here and pick one of these. One of these will be a yes, or one of these will be a no. So we're going to find out if I'm going to have peanut butter and jelly and pizza. Rylan, you want to pick one? You can pick the first one. All right, so now you got to read that Bible verse. He will no longer rebuke you.
Rebuke you, but will rejoice over with you, with singing.
So is that a good Bible verse or was that a bad Bible verse? Good Bible verse. So guess who's having peanut butter, jelly, and pizza tomorrow? And guess who's not making any afternoon plans after having peanut butter, jelly, and pizza? So your second one is one that is very near and dear to my heart. Is, should you become a Green Bay Packer fan? That question just happened to come up. So who wants to do this one? Nick, come here. Read it aloud.
Be joyful in hope.
Patient in affliction.
Faithful in prayer.
So is that a good one or a bad one? Good, we got to start fitting you for cheeseheads now. I may have had two good ones on that one, so I may have cheated on that. All right, let's do one more personal. So this one is, somebody's got to tell me, does anybody want to live away from Ohio when they grow up? Does anybody have a place that they're thinking about would be really cool to live? Paige?
Paris.
All right. We're going to take that to the lot. We'll see. I see your dad. So, Paige, you can pick this one since it's your own. So, yes or no, will you be going to Paris? I see your dad sweating over there.
Be joyful and hope, patient, enough.
In affliction?
Faithful in prayer.
All right. Somebody's going to Paris. All right. This one, I'm going to let you guys have some fun with. My wife won't be happy. So, one of the things they did is, they even took to the lot. You know what else they took to the lot? Who they were going to marry. So that's how they found out. So your job is to pick out two eligible bachelors and bachelorettes, and let's find out if we have a wedding this afternoon. So who are you going to pick from the church? If you're a single person, put your hand in the air. How about that? So you got to pick me out. Jacob, it looks like you're kind of by war of attrition here. You're going to come up here. I see you in the back. And then you want to pick out somebody else?
I know who I'm going to marry when I get old enough.
You want to what?
I know who I'm going to marry when I get old.
You don't want to get married when you're old enough? You might change your tune in a few years.
Nope, I'm doing it with Paige.
Well, on that note... I definitely didn't expect that one. All right, Jacob, you want to come on up? Kira or Charlotte, one of you, you're in the front row. Nick, pick which victim you want. I'll give you in charge. Okay, Kira, there you go. All right, so the happy couple, can I have you come to the middle? There's Nick, your best man. So it'll be up to one of you, Kira, since the woman will be in charge of the household, I will let you pick whether you want to, what Bible verse it will be. What does that one say?
In indignation you march to fury, or in anger you trample the nations.
Ooh, looks like you're staying single for a little while. All right, so the very last one, and some of those are funny, but some of those they took very seriously. And the very last one that the Moravians did was for the chief elder, which was to decide who was going to be in charge of the church. And that one, they turned that question over to Jesus. Should Jesus be in charge of the church? So I need somebody to come up here and grab Tyler. All right. What's that one say?
Now I will
Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you, judge you according to your ways and all your abominations. So that was, for us, ours came up negative. And that very well could have happened to the Moravians. But you know what came up for them? They got John 10, which is a story about Jesus feed my sheep. And I'll even share the positive one for you that we had. It was Philippians 4, verse 4, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And so that verse reminded them to always choose God, because good things were going to happen if they put God in charge. So that meant, what does it mean to put God in charge? What are some ways you could do that? What's this? Paige? Prayer. What else? Aubrey? How about love? How about loving each other? Riley? Reading the Bible, that's a good one. And we do all those things, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the lot says, because the Moravians came to realize it was what their heart said. And their heart said yes every time to God. It's important that we always remember that. So let's get in our circle and pray. I thank all of you for being good sports, especially Kira and Jacob. And let's pray. God, we give you thanks for these kids, for their wonderful spirits, for their hearts that belong to God, and most importantly, for the friendship and love that you inspire within them. And please protect them and bless them and have great school weeks, home lives, and lives outside. For we know that life is at its best when we are joyful people. And help us to follow in the joyful footsteps of these kids. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Be sure to grab a Smartie since you all did such a good job. And as we celebrate the Festival of Chief Alders, as we look at this as adults, the important thing to remember is, yeah, there's some comedy to what happened, but, I mean, you look at the lot system and you think it's crazy, but because their willingness to trust in God to make decisions, they had one of the fastest mission systems that grew in the world that was never matched, to this day has not been matched, because they didn't do 10 years doing longitudinal studies if it was good to go to Haiti or Latin America or Africa or all these other places. They listened to what the lot said and they went. And it was the faith in God that allowed that to be a holy practice. It's when they turned it into something superstitious that it lost its power and its spirituality among them. But a good reminder of how God works within us. Let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this message. God, I ask that you open our ears, our eyes and our hearts to the words that you inspire within us, and help us to carry the words that you teach us in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. So at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the world 100 years ago today knew peace, or at the very least they knew the end of one of the most violent displays of outbursts the world had ever seen. 29 million soldiers were wounded or killed. Another 13 million civilians perished as well in the war to end all wars. Russia, France, Germany, and Austria-Hungary all lost more soldiers than the entire population of modern-day Columbus. A generation of young men were never coming home, and the lucky ones who did would never be the same. November 11th became known as Armistice Day and was celebrated across the world as a day of peace. And now the reason we know it now today as Veterans Day was, unfortunately, the war to end all wars was not enough to quench the world's thirst for violence, and it took less than 30 years for World War II to ensnare the world. And one of the biggest factors that caused this war was the so-called peace treaty of World War I, which was the Treaty of Versailles, which was more revengeful towards the German people than peaceful. Because in that treaty, it was all about getting even with the losers of the war and their allies. And the sanctions against Germany were so crippling that the German people lost all hopes. And you can see pictures in the 1930s of people in Germany where inflation was so high, they would bring wheelbarrows to the grocery store full of cash, trying to just have enough money to pay for bread. And they were so hopeless, they turned to the one man who promised them hope, despite having to sacrifice everything they believed in. And that man's name was Adolf Hitler. And the world learned the painful truth that to speak of peace on our lips, but to not carry it in our actions, came at a cost far more than any of us could bear. The world saw the need for a peaceful world. And we as Christians often can have conflicting emotions as we celebrate days like Veterans Day, because we honor our veterans for their outstanding courage, their bravery, and their sacrifice. And none of us could do some of the sacrifices that they have made for us. And we would not have precious freedom to defend without their service to their country. But we must also realize we live in a broken world where violence and warfare are symptoms of the selfish and sinful human condition. Violence is not ordained by God. God calls his people to be peaceful. As Rick read for us in Micah chapter 4, verse 3, "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And if any of you know the gospel hymn, "They shall not study war no more," it comes from Micah chapter 4, verse 3. And we hear in the gospel, Christ calls us to be peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And we as Moravians have always seen ourselves as peacemakers. The father of modern nonviolence, Peter Helchitsky, was a Moravian. He was a figure in the early unity of the brethren. And his writings have been said to inspire the minds of great champions of peace, such as Leo Tolstoy, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr. A lot of what they teach and preach as leaders can be traced back to what Peter said as the unity of the brethren. And Peter's basic argument, as he saw a world that was in constant turmoil and constant violence, all in the name of God, was he argued it was impossible to love one's neighbor and at the same time do that neighbor harm. Those were conflicting ideas. And we must understand that real peace does not come without consequences or sacrifices. We are less than a mile away from Shenbrun Village, where a genocide campaign was launched against Native Americans. And Moravians dealt with that constantly, that threat throughout the American Revolution War. Because it seems in warfare, if you refuse to pick a side, both sides just distrust you equally, with the same amount of malice and discontent. Because peace in our world today is more important than ever. Because as we see in our news cycle, it has never been easier to harm large quantities of people. And so we must remember as Christians that the world needs peacemakers now more than ever. And one needs not look any further than the cross if they want to know the price that was paid by the Prince of Peace. The only way that Jesus could get us to see that God was not a bloodthirsty, vengeful deity was by shedding God's blood for each and every one of us. And Jesus wanted to show the world a peace that could last, a peace that could sustain us. Now, just because we struggle with war and violence, that does not mean our soldiers should be vilified. If anything, they should be honored all the more for their willingness to take on some of those difficult tasks. Because it can have a deep psychological effect on anybody who's asked to be a fight for their country. Because a soldier is asked to do their duty without thinking of their own personal politics, their own thoughts about military strategy. In fact, a German officer During the bloody Battle of Somme in World War I, he was so impressed by the enemy British troops, despite commanding officers who were given positions based on their social status and not on their military acumen, he saw very clearly that their poor leadership kept leading these men into difficult situations, but he came impressed by the soldiers who fought for the British Army. He said, "Nowhere else have I seen such brave lions being led by such lambs. Nowhere else have I seen such brave lions being led by such lambs." And many soldiers have bravely laid down their lives for something greater than themselves. John 15:13 said, "Greater love has no one than this, than he that laid down his life for his friends." A very important message to remember, because the human heart is not built for war or warfare. The embedded reporter Joe Galloway in the movie We Were Soldiers about the war in Vietnam said, "We who have seen war will never stop seeing it. We who have seen war will never stop seeing it." And the impact of the battlefield lingers long after the peace treaty is signed or the soldier returns home. And society often expects soldiers to see horrific images and return to their homeland and work a 9-to-5 like nothing has happened in their life. They are expected to keep the image of war buried within. And we as a society need to do a better job of taking care of the men and women of our armed forces, as they transition back to civilian life. In fact, the Military Times reported that in 2017, there are approximately 40,000 homeless veterans in our country. 40,000 homeless vets. And Veteran Affairs said that over 30% of Vietnam veterans and 20% of Iraqi war veterans returned home from combat with some form of PTSD. And it's important to keep statistics like that on our mind when we think that acts like peacemaking are too burdensome or not worth the time. We should see the cost that people pay for peace otherwise. Because if we as a world follow in the footsteps of Christ and love our neighbors and our enemies as ourselves, no one should need to die or kill for their country anymore. We should be invited into that peace that lasts. And every generation, doesn't matter which generation, looks at the wars of the previous generation with hubris and says, "That will never happen to us. We're not like them." And the problem is it almost always does. So brothers and sisters, the divide in our country along party lines continue to grow. 10 years ago, it didn't seem to mean much if your neighbor had a yard sign that was a different color than yours. Now I hear about lifelong friendships that crumble over politics. And we as Christians have a duty to be peacemakers. We as Christians have a duty to remind people that God does not care what political party we belong to, but God does care how we treat those we disagree with. God doesn't care about your politics. He does care about how you treat those people you see as different. And may a civil war be a part of our history, but let us work together to healing this nation so that it never has to once again be a part of our future. And if we truly want to honor not just our veterans, but God's love for us, we should stop the cycles of hatred that seem to produce more wars, veterans, and broken hearts. And we should focus on building a peace for this world that will be everlasting. We should seek to build a world where wars are no longer needed. And when we hear that, we think that dream may be impossible, but that should not keep us from trying to build a world of peace. Because Jesus sacrificed far too much for us to keep doing the same things and expecting different results. So let us look upon the cross as we turn to Holy Communion today and see the peace that has been won for this world, the peace that Christ won for each one of us. And now the burden lies with us, because it is on us to share that love, to share that grace, to share that mercy, and to remind people that the peace that was won for us 2,000 years ago is a peace that still stays with us today. And may that peace continue to grow stronger as we continue to nourish it with the love and compassion we show each other because of the love and compassion we receive from God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the greatest generation, for our veterans, for so many people who make sacrifices to build this world a better place. And we think of people like Peter Helchitsky and Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. And help us to take on the difficult task of being peacemakers, because we want this world to be a better place than when we found it. We want our children, our grandchildren, and the generations to come to not study war anymore, to keep doing the wonderful task of building a world that takes care of one another, that loves one another, and that sees the image of God in all people and all places. And whenever we get lost, help us to remember that wherever we stand with God, and that is holy ground within us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song. You may be seated. We join together in celebration of the chief eldership of Jesus Christ. And we remember that just because we elected Jesus as chief elder does not put him in any more special distinction in the Moravian Church, but it reminds us that he's not only the Savior of the world, but the presence of Christ is something we should invite into our own decisions, our own lives, every single day, not just once a week, but the presence of Christ is something that we should feel in our midst as often as we can. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Peace, Angie. Okay. I'll see if I can work it out. Are they going right away, or are they? Peace, Harley. Peace, Audrey. Got the gum ready? Peace, Joe. Peace, Joe. Delene, are the boxes going out this week? Okay, so I'll make sure we bless them. Yep. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the grace and the mercy that you offer us at this table. Help us to remember it is not about our unworthiness, but about your worthiness and how you sacrificed the greatest sacrifice for each and every one of us out of the love of God that may pour from your heart into our own hearts as we strive to love this world the best we can. And whenever we get lost, let us seek the words that you have taught us, and let us pray them together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Peace. Peace, Charlotte. Peace here. Peace, Doug. Peace, Alicia. Peace, Danielle. our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection, in the same way after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Let's extend the right hand of fellowship. For the benediction, we're going to do bless the Christmas boxes, Operation Christmas Child. I forgot we were okay. Doing that during the children's moment.
Oh.
So I'll bring the kids back up if that's okay.
Gotcha.
We'll put our hands on the boxes and...
Okay.
As I offer the words of our benediction, I'm going to invite our children to come forward. We neglected during our children's lesson to bless our boxes for Operation Christmas Child. And it really is important that we do pay tribute to all these boxes that are going to children across the world. I want to give thanks for Floyd and Deline for helping lead this mission. For all you faithful chip buyers, we appreciate that. That sent a lot of postage for these boxes. Floyd or Deline, do you guys need anything else as far as content of...
No, all we'll need is maybe something.
So kids, we're gonna put our hands on these boxes, and this is a part of Operation Christmas Child. And these boxes are going across the world to kids who may or may not have some Christmas presents as a way for us to help bless them and make sure they know that they are loved by God. So each one of you, I want you to very gently touch a box if you can. Try not to knock it over. There you go. And we're going to offer God's blessing. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you all very much. Go in peace.